Well, here we are in the new year, 2020, new decade. What about that? Last week we indicated that we wanted to spend the next 4 weeks getting off to a good start in 2020 and focusing on our overall health, our spiritual health, our mental health, and our physical health. We talked about this notion of health in tradition and then what the modern world is doing in terms of a lack of health. The modern world seems to be spiritually sick. There's so much mental anguish in the modern world and physically sick as well. But this morning I want to talk about spiritual health. What is spiritual health? Well, we might describe it as the constant light of Christ just pouring into our souls. That might be one way you could describe spiritual health. In Genesis, we see a description of spiritual health as walking with God. Kind of the same thing. Walking with God is the constant light of God pouring into your soul. But that phrase there, Enoch walked with God. Can you and then he was no more. Can you think of a better epitaph to put on your tombstone than he walked with God and then he was no more? I came across an article some time ago about supposedly actual epitaphs that were on tombstones. And one of my favorites was this. It says, "Our mother, who raised four beautiful daughters with only one bathroom, and still there was love." I haven't seen this, but supposedly the tombstone of Mel Blanc, the creator of Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck and Porky Pig, says, "That's all, folks." And the tombstone of TV announcer and TV host Merv Griffin reads simply, "I will not be back after this brief message." But can you think of a better epitaph to be ascribed to you, to describe your life than the one that was given to Enoch? Enoch walked with God, and then he was no more. A man who walked with God. Now that's that describes a spiritually healthy life. But what does such a life look like, though? Well, on the surface, it means that Enoch walked through his life, first of all, with a constant awareness that he was living and moving in the presence of something big. Something awesome, something mighty, a power for good, a power for love, a power for beauty and for excellence. And Jesus tells us to have that awareness. He often tells his disciples, be watchful, be awake, in other words, to the presence of God. So he was constantly aware of that. But not only that, if we follow what's taught to us in the scriptures, we would know that Enoch also walked in communion. He was not only aware of this power, but he walked in communion with this power, this transcendent God. He conversed with him. He took counsel from him. He gained wisdom and strength from God. And then because of that, we would know that he lived nobly and he lived upright as he walked in the way of this transcendent God. So he walked close, he walked with God. And walking with God means staying clear of the precipice that we can fall over into the abyss of the life that is without God. So the one who walks with God walks safely away from the precipice. But that precipice is always alluring us closer and closer. I've never been to the Grand Canyon, but I've been to some pretty large mountains with overlooks. And there's just something that calls you a little closer, doesn't it? Maybe some of you are like, no way. But so you just want to get a little bit closer just to kind of see down. The modern world is like that in a way. It says, just come take a little look. Take another look at what's down here. There's more stuff. There's more bling. There's more glitz. There's more hypersexuality down here. There's everything you could ever want is down here. And the precipice is sort of calling the man and the woman who wants to walk with God, calling them closer. And the thing is there's no gradual descent down into the precipice. Once you step over, it's a free fall and you're gone. And that's what's happening in the world today as people have moved away from this traditional spiritual health of walking with God and have been allured over to the precipice and have fallen. And the world's in a spiral. Individuals who have taken that step are in a spiral. And they're falling, and they don't know how to stop. But Enoch walked with God. And that's an allusion back to the third chapter of Genesis when we find Adam in the garden. And it says Adam walked with God in the cool of the evening. That's a description of a time when man and woman walked with God faithfully in the traditional way of being aware of a transcendent God, communing with that God, and then walking as a noble, upright person before God. That whole thing alludes to that age before the fall, that age before the spiral began, before the free fall into the precipice of this modern muck happened. But we find that Enoch walked with God. And many of the world's oldest narratives talk about this primordial age. The Greeks have it. Hesiod spoke of the golden age. In European lore, there's Hyperborea in the north, a perfect world before the degeneracy. And then there's, of course, the Hebraic Garden of Eden, this story of innocence and uprightness. But they all point to a primordial age when we walked with God before we descended into darkness. And like I said, it's not a gradual descent, but it's a free fall. So spiritual health, then, if the world is in a free fall, and people are in this moral free fall into the abyss of this modern world of materialism and hypersexuality and emptiness and nihilism that we've spoken of in the past. If people are in a free fall into that, then spiritual health is no longer natural. There has to be something that shakes us. Or something we can grab hold of to catch our fall so that we can return to spiritual health. Otherwise, this world is going to keep free falling into the ugliness and the crudeness and the degeneracy and the mediocrity, the ugly mediocrity that the world is falling into. No longer is there a desire to be noble and to be upright and to be pure and to be a person of light. That's mocked and that's castigated and that's made fun of. That's old-fashioned. But as we've lost that world, as we've lost that traditional spiritual health, we've seen the world in a free fall. There's got to be something we can reach out and grab to break the fall, to restore our spiritual health. And last week we said that there was a fundamental characteristic that separates walking with God from this degenerate, fallen world. And one way to describe that, we said, is that people who walk with God, people who have spiritual health, see do not see in the world a split between what is sacred and what is profane, between what is godly and what is secular. They're one thing. But in the modern world, we said last week, that split has been forced, and there's a compartmentalization of a religious and a spiritual life, and then everything else. And when that split occurred, when God was separated from so much in the world and was just sort of compartmentalized into this little part of life, the nobility and the goodness and the excellence and the beauty of man and woman went into a free fall. Spiritual health will require that we bring back those two and that we see that everything in our life, our work life, our home life, our conversations with our friends, our business life, whatever it might be, that everything is sacred. It didn't say that Enoch walked with God 1 hour on Sunday morning and then the rest of the life. That was the secular life. That was the profane life. It said he walked faithfully with God because he saw the sacred and the secular that wasn't even in his view. Everything was sacred. Everything is in the awareness of God. And so people of the divine tradition in Christ can't imagine a thought or a word or a deed that's not done in the presence of the living God. So whether or not you're in your business affairs or in your relationships or raising your children or caring for a parent, approaching any task, you can't imagine any other way than doing it in an upright, noble way. That's walking with God. That's not taught today. That's not praised today. Mediocrity and crudeness, that's what's praised today. But the one who walks with God seeks the noble life, seeks to live in the light of Christ, for the light of God to pour into his or her soul in anything and everything that he or she does. So walking with God then is not just some devotional or religious exercise. It's a holistic life. It's everything that you do. Walking with God is not only what you do, it's who you are. You can't imagine living any other way. And Martin Luther, when he was before the council that was ordering him to recant his belief, his famous words were, "Here I stand, I can do no other." That should be our motto as we walk with God in the world. The precipice is calling us and alluring us into the things that it wants us to do and to pull us into the precipice. But we say with Martin Luther, "Here I stand. I can do no other because it's who I am. I am the noble son or daughter of God." So it's a sacred life. The truth is that many people are in a free fall into an ignoble and an ugly and a trivial life. Can you think of anything more tragic than a trivial life? A life where a person doesn't decide, "I'm going to live a noble life and walk with God. Instead, I'm just going to trivialize my life away." Something more tragic than that I can't imagine to do with our life. But more and more people are doing that in modernity. They're craving, and the craving is their impulse, and they're just craving more and more with their minds and their stomachs and their groins, and they're never satisfied because they're seeking what will never fill their desire. And what the modern world is seeking is quantity. They want more and more and more and more. What the noble person, what the person in Christ, what the person of tradition seeks is quality. I want my life to mean something. I want to be filled with the best possible experience that I could be filled with, and that's nothing less than the light of God, Christ, within me. So if in this coming year in 2020, we're going to live the sacred and the noble life, which I desire for each of us, then we've got to think about this desire of quality over quantity. A couple of things real quick. First of all, the greatest quality experience of life is the life in Christ, because Christ is the presence of God within us. And if you can think of a better life than a God life filled with God, let me know. But the Enoch walked with God. That was the highest compliment you could pay to a person, and it still is, because he was filled with God. He was filled with the light of Christ. And then he was no more. So quality is being filled with God in all that you do. But let's break it down into a few day-to-day details. How about quality of products over quantity of products? There are a lot of junk products that in 2019 and 2018 and 2017 that you probably threw your money at. A lot of quantity products rather than quality products. How about in 2020, rather than seeking quantity, more and more things, that we seek things of quality? You know, growing up, I remember having the same can opener in our kitchen drawer for the whole time I was growing up. It was the same can opener. We buy a can opener every 6 months now, it seems like. In my house, as you turn it, it doesn't work anymore, and you got to go down and buy another one. There's just so much junk out there. It seems like quantity is winning over quality. Things are built like junk today. If it breaks, that's okay. We order it and we'll have it tomorrow from Amazon. Pretty soon, even today, you'll have it. You have to work to find a quality product. Better yet, maybe we should ask the question, do I even need it at all? So there's a way that we can begin to transform our minds into quality versus quantity. First of all, Lord, do I need this? Is this where the money that you have given me needs to go? And if I do need it, am I going to invest in quality or quantity? How about your relationships in 2020 versus 2019? The quality of relationships over the quantity of relationships. It's not the number of friends that you have, but it's the deep and the rich and the thoroughly satisfying relationships that you have with the friends that you do have. I'd rather have three really good, close friends than 1,000 on Facebook. Jesus often spoke to huge crowds, and he often gets impatient with them. But they followed him and he would teach them, but then he would call his close associates into the inner circle and he would say, here's what I really meant, because you all are ready to get it. Seek those kind of friendships, not just surface relationships, but close relationships of quality. But that takes work. And then the last one I'll mention is, how about the quality of your words over the quantity of your words? That's a good one for a pastor to have, right? Quality of words over quantity. Maybe in 2020 we learn to filter our words through the mind of Christ before we speak them. There was a 19th century writer named Thomas Carlyle. He said, there are way too many low-quality words being written in books. In fact, he said this, there is a great discovery still to be made in literature, that of paying literary men by the quantity they do not write. So it's not the quantity of words that I speak, but what about the power of the words that you speak, the truthfulness of the words, the beauty of the words that you speak? In recent years, there's been a lot of concern that very young children from poor and lower educated households are at a disadvantage by the time they reach kindergarten because they have a very small vocabulary compared to ones who are in more advantaged homes, you might say. So in recent years, preschool curricula have been developed to provide larger vocabularies to these children. But when these were put in place, tests were done, and there were no significant improvements. And so the educators went back and regrouped, and they made an important discovery. They found out that it was not the number of words that a child learned, but a way in which they learned to use the words that they possessed. So in other words, it's not about shoving words into their mouths, but about how meaningful and how rich and how deep and how age-appropriate their conversations and challenging their conversations were with the vocabulary that they did have. There's a wise teaching there. It's found in Ecclesiastes 5:2 as well. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God, because God is in heaven and you are on earth. So let your words be few. There's a lot of things we could say about quality versus quantity, but there's a few. How about quality products? How about quality relationships? How about quality words in 2020, rather than seeking more and more and more and more and more, which is the way of the modern modernity, the modern world? So to walk faithfully with God is about living a quality life, and the quality life begins with Christ, because Christ is the presence of God within us, and there's nothing of higher quality than you can have than the transcendent God living in you and teaching you and instructing you and guiding you in all that you do. So first of all, seek Christ in 2020, but in that, in the little things that you do, have a mind for quality. And that will imply that we slow down. All these things imply that we slow down and we breathe, and we take it in, that we be aware of God's presence. Like Enoch, that we not only be aware, but that we commune with God, that we seek His guidance, that we listen, that we pray to Him without ceasing. And then finally, that all of that together creates a noble and an upright and a light-filled life. It requires work, but all good things do. But in the end, they will be able to say of you and me, he walked with God, she walked with God. And then he went to be with God. She went to be with God. Let's pray. Father, we have stepped close to the precipice. Some of us have experienced the free fall. We thought there was something of substance there. We thought there was something beautiful down there, but we found that it was empty, that it was a void. Father, teach us to walk in the way of your Son, Jesus, seeing all things as sacred, seeking quality rather than quantity, seeking to walk with you until we are no more. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.